Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
A couple of weeks ago, I interviewed retired Marine Colonel Hank Donegan about his life, service, and how he loves running marathons despite battling cancer, raising money and awareness for fellow veterans. It's one of my favorite podcasts and one that I highly recommend listening to if you haven't already. Anyhow, during our discussion, he talked about a friend of his named Angela Tortorese, who has quite an impressive running record herself, having ran over 1,200 marathons in her lifetime, many of them raising money for a cause near and dear to my heart, multiple sclerosis. Angela is also a card-carrying member of the Guinness Book of World Records, holding the world record for the most marathons ran in a calendar year by a woman, a title she earned by running 129 of them between September 2012 and August 2013. More recently, she's waiting to hear back from the folks at the Guinness Record Books about the accomplishment she reached in 2022, being the first American woman to have completed 1,000 marathons. Angela's day job is as an accountant. She lives in Dallas, Texas, and took up running over 25 years ago. She says it's not about how fast you can run. It's about getting out there, moving your body, and hanging out with good friends, a lesson we can all learn from. Here's my conversation with Angela Tortorese on the Janice Dean podcast. Angela, tell me, what race number are you on right now?
Oh, gosh, that's a great question. I'm getting close to 1,200 marathons.
Wow.
Lifetime.
Lifetime, 1,200. And then did you make the Guinness Book of World Records for the thousandth marathon?
So I have applied to be the youngest woman to 1,000. Guinness hasn't officially accepted that one yet. I do have a Guinness World Record for most marathons calendar year female that is currently still active.
Wow.
No one has beat it yet.
What was that? What was that total?
129 in 1 year.
Oh my. So do the math for me. What was that? Like a race a week or?
It was about 2.7 per week. There are a lot of race series that occur, say during the week or over holidays, for example, Memorial Day, Labor Day, Thanksgiving, or towards the end of the year, you know, after Christmas. So there's a lot of opportunities to kind of do more than, you know, a couple on a weekend that got me up to the 2.7. I was also working in a different part of our company where I could do a lot of work remote at the time. So that was helpful because I actually work in accounting. So I was working in our IT department and the company was so supportive. I was very fortunate.
That's amazing. And did you do them all in and around your hometown?
Oh, no, I traveled all over, you know, the USA during that time and still do.
Wow.
So it was a lot of, not many hours of sleeping. Let's just say that.
Yeah. How did you do it? I mean, okay, when did you start running? When did you realize that this was kind of your thing?
I started running, Janice, you know, it was around the time that my former husband was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And it was, you know, a way of coping with, you know, what was going on at the time. You know, plus I married into a Sicilian family, so I was enjoying a lot of nice food and learning how to cook. My father-in-law taught me a lot of nice recipes. So, you know, I was gaining weight. My husband was diagnosed and, you know, I was also concerned about my own health. And, you know, the best way that I knew or that I think to deal with that is, you know, to try to learn to eat better and to try to exercise.
So you just decided? Yeah, go ahead. Tell me.
Well, yeah, I started just by walking a quarter mile, jogging a quarter, walking a quarter, jogging a quarter. That was it, just with 1 mile until I slowly built up to three. And then after about 3 years, someone at work told me about a place here in Dallas called White Rock Lake and gave me directions. And I went there and I ran around the lake and it was 9 miles. So I just slowly built up from there.
Wow. So how old were you when you started doing this?
My first marathon, I was 27 years old. So I was, you know, I started running when I was about 23, 24 on a regular basis. I'd always run a little bit growing up, you know, because I played tennis and did a little bit of running growing up, but I didn't take it seriously until I was about 23, 24.
That's amazing. Now, right out of the gate, were you like, oh, this is something I could really get into? Or did you gradually sort of get to that place where you realized that this was going to be, you know, a pretty big deal in your life?
Janice, I would definitely say it was gradual because I really did not like getting up at 5 a.m. and running. You know, it took me 3 weeks to even say to myself, okay, this isn't so bad. Mm. Then after about 6 weeks of getting up at the same time, doing the exact same thing, it started to become a habit. And that's when I really started to enjoy it and wanted it to be part of my life. But again, it took 3 years for me to go from 3 miles up to nine. Mm.
And what about the heat? I mean, you live in Texas. That's tough to deal with.
I absolutely love the heat.
You have to.
It's the cold I don't like. And it does get cold here, too. You know, we had that winter storm Uri that occurred, what, 2 or 3 years back. Mm-hmm. And it can get cold. So I enjoy the heat. And we do have some races in the summer. Thank goodness most of them, most start in the evening.
So how is your ex-husband doing? Are you guys still in touch?
Yes, we're fairly close. He has recently relocated from the Dallas area up to Connecticut where his sister lives. And he's in a facility. He's not needing a lot of personal care, but just so that he can get fed properly and people can check in on him. And I think he's kind of actually enjoying it because ladies are coming in, they're emptying his trash. They're, you know, making sure he has all his meals. He's getting all this special attention from all these ladies.
The reason I ask is because I have multiple sclerosis. So I'm always, you know, I read that that was kind of a catalyst, you know, him getting diagnosed, dealing with that challenge, him dealing with that challenge. And also for you, I mean, we don't talk about the caregivers enough, the ones that go through that diagnosis with the person. And that's tough. And so it's a good lesson that it's important for the caregiver to also kind of have goals, a way to, you know, work out the stress that they're under.
Yes, I would say so. John and I, we've been divorced for quite some time now, and he was remarried, and I would just give kudos to her for all that she had done to, you know, help him. And yes, I'd listened to your podcast and heard about your diagnosis, and, you know, I would just say people that I had personally been friends with or, you know, married to, the more active that they are. And the fact that, you know, you guys are working, I think makes a huge difference in your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. And I think that, I mean, studies have proven that if you are active and you are getting exercises, my neurologist, every time I go see her, she's like, are you, you know, what's your routine? Are you getting out there? Are you walking? I think it's really important, you know, to stay active as much as possible.
Definitely. And I'm glad to hear, glad to hear that you are being active and being proactive. I think, you know, that's truly important. One of my coworkers is actually on my bike team because I have a team for multiple sclerosis, and he works out and he comes to work every day. And, you know, he is facing this head on. And I think that's truly what has caused him not to continue the progression so much, you know, because he's being proactive and he's looking into new medications all the time. So I'm hoping that yours is not progressive. And it sounds like that you are being very proactive in seeing your neurologist. So
luckily, the medicines are getting better. I'm on something that, seems to be very hopeful in terms of slowing the progression of the disease. And but I think that there is something to that, that you have to remain active. And all the people that I know that have been diagnosed with some sort of neurological illness, it's kind of the same thing. You just have to keep moving as much as possible. So thank you for that.
And I'm just glad you're on some of these newer medications. There's been so much research, as I'm sure that you're aware, done, and there's so many new medications coming out all the time. So I'm just glad that the money that I've raised for MS is going to such a great cause.
I love that. So you're part of an MS marathon group?
I'm kind of both. I lead the TXU Energy Bike MS team. I founded it in 2003, and our team has raised almost $1.5 million since it was founded.
Wow.
Our CEO of TXU, it's Vistor Corp, actually rides on the team and sponsors us. Just so that we can have a team and have team jerseys and all that. But I also do put on a marathon, a multiple sclerosis marathon, actually raise about, I put on several marathons and raise money for MS. So 20% of the proceeds go to MS. So I've raised almost $200,000 for the cause myself.
Well, God bless you. Thank you. We need more of you out there. And we'll be back with more of the Janice Dean podcast right after this.
I'm Charles Payne. Listen to my Unstoppable Prosperity podcast so I can get you making money right now. Whether stocks are hitting new all-time highs or in freefall mode, opportunities abound. So why are so many potential investors still sitting on the sidelines? In a new season of my podcast, I'm going to get you in the game. After 38 years on Wall Street, I'm ready to impart some lessons and get you invested in the greatest wealth-generating machine in history. Listen anytime, everywhere at foxbusinesspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
Your 1,000th race was in 2022?
Yes. It just doesn't seem like that long ago, but yes, it was in 2022 in April. Yes.
How did that feel?
Amazing. I mean, I have to just say it was probably the best day of my life.
Wow, that's amazing.
Because I had a lot of my friends, family, my running family, my family that, I'm related to, and friends from just lifetime friends that showed up, people that I grew up with, and they were all surrounding me. And we came into the finish line with a police escort. One of my close friends, Kelly Shank, really helped organize everything and talked this nice little police officer into escorting us into the finish line.
Wow. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it was a great day.
Now, what do you do when you get injured? I mean, how do you take care of yourself? It's a lot. Some runners get injured from doing so many marathons. I'm curious to see what you do that you can continue to keep up this kind of pace.
Well, I did listen to your podcast with Colonel Donegan, and same advice. You slow down. Sometimes you need to stop. I have had some fractures in my ankle or foot. Those are the times that you actually do have to take a break and listen to your doctor and do exactly what he tells you so that it doesn't turn into a break. But a lot of times you can kind of work through them. I heard you and Hank talking about your husband with the back injuries. That's a very difficult one.
Mm-hmm.
And, obviously would take a lot of therapy, and I understand he's going to have surgery, but, best wishes there. And
thank
I hope
you.
He can get back on the road, because at this point, honestly, I'll walk a full marathon.
Hmm.
I mean, a lot of times I am walking the entire way.
That's good to know, and it's because sometimes it's not about how fast you run. It's how you get there.
Well, and it's about the camaraderie. I mean, what I'm learning more and more is, gosh, I want to do this race because so-and-so is going to be there. Oh, I haven't seen them. I want to catch up, or haven't seen them in a month, and you just want to be out there with your friends. And that the social aspect is such a huge part of it for the back of the Packers.
The back of the Packers. I think that that's where I am.
Well, I know that's where I am. So. But yeah, I really hope, and I feel like, you know, your husband could get back out there. It's just when you push yourself really hard and you do these long distances, I learned early on that doesn't work well for me. I'm going to get injured.
Yeah.
So I can't do speed and distance. I mean, there's some amazing athletes that can, and, you know, kudos to them.
So what's your next goal then?
Just to stay in it, to just, you know, to be able to keep going is really my goal. I mean, last year, my company let me run a lot. I did 107 last year, and, you know, I kind of made a commitment to be available for them this year because we are implementing a new accounting system, and, you know, we're doing some acquisitions. So, you know, I want to keep working, and I want to keep running as much as I can. And right now it's just to keep going and to stay number one, if I can, in the U.S. for females.
And so what do? Do we call Guinness and say, listen up here, give her the title?
We might have to, you know, it's hard finding time to get all these things done though, Janice. I'm sure you understand with what you do for a living.
So what do you have to do to prove it? How do you do that?
Well, okay. So when I got my first record, I had to send in evidence. Like, I think it was maybe seven things for each race. For example, two witness statements of people that you were with that day that saw you run, a witness statement from the race director, a copy, like a picture of your medal, a picture of your bib, the race results. Oh, and a picture of you at the event. And it's really just, you know, you try to get all that data together, but it is the preponderance of evidence, I guess, that Guinness goes by. So you might be missing a photo or, you know, something to that effect. But, you know, if you have like, say, 98% of the data, they usually accept you.
Okay. Have you run any races here in the New York area?
I have run the New York City Marathon.
Look at you. How many times?
Just once. And that was, it was 1998 when I was running like, you know, 420s every single time, right?
That's crazy. Yeah. My husband did it too. One and done.
Well, that's pretty amazing. I assume he's very fast when he runs. It sounded like
he used to be pretty fast. Yeah. And I was talking to Colonel Donegan about this. It's something that he really misses. So I'm hopeful that he can somehow get back into it. And I think listening to you as well, it's not about the stopwatch. It's about getting out there. And the one thing that he is good at is he walks. We have a dog. We've had her for 2 years, and God bless her, because she motivates him to get out there and just walk, you know, do the 10,000 steps. You start there.
That's really great. And I think that's important that he's just out walking, and that's, you know, that really has to be relaxing for him. And, you know, for me, I just feel so much better by getting out. You know, it's, you're releasing those endorphins and feeling great. And
is that really true? That runner's high? Is that a real thing?
Yes,
it is.
It definitely is.
When does that happen? When do you get that like euphoria?
I would say when you're done. Yeah, mile 26.2.
Well, that makes more sense. It's
no,
not.
I mean, you kind of get it during the race, and you especially if you are really putting in an effort and you're starting to pass people at the end. That feels pretty awesome too.
Mm-hmm. And like you said, it's about community. It's about meeting people and the motivation that you have with them.
Definitely. I would say, you know, back to my 1000, some of the people that showed up were people that I met at the YMCA that I ran with for years. And, you know, it's those relationships that really keep you coming back.
Mm-hmm. What would you tell a person who's listening to this and says, yeah, you know, I'd like to try that. Where do I start?
I would just go back to where I started. I mean, I walked a quarter mile and then jogged a quarter just on a track. And even if you just start with a quarter mile, just get out there and start. But I would also say it's important to do it 5 days a week at the same time every day to start trying to form a habit. I mean, it's not about how far or how fast, but it's about getting out and doing it.
Do you listen to music or podcasts? What do you do when you're running?
No. Again, really? I'm just out there with my friends and really also for safety. You know, it's interesting to me when we're running a marathon and there's cars coming down the road and people are potted and they have no idea that a car's right behind them. And you're trying to do a shout out to them, but they can't even hear you because they're listening to music or whatever. So for me, it's more for social reasons, but also for safety.
Wow. That's good advice. You know, you think about all those people that do this and I get it. You know, can it be boring sometimes?
Oh, it can, especially if your friends aren't there and it's a small race and you're in the middle of nowhere. So, you know, it can at times, but you know, there's beauty everywhere and you just have to find it.
Mm-hmm. Does your mind get clear when you run?
Oh gosh. Yes. I mean, you know, there's so many things in life we don't have control over, right? But the running we do. And I think you've really worked through a lot of issues when you're out running. I mean, whether it's work issues or say things you're going through, right? It just helps you work through that and let go and relax.
Mm-hmm. How'd you meet Colonel Donegan?
I met Colonel Donegan at the Marine Corps Marathon. Gosh, it was before 9/11. So it must have been like 1999 that I met him. And I just happened to go to the after party to thank the race director for letting me in. And he was just sitting there. I sat at the same table and we became fast friends. He came and visited my family and, you know, met my nephew and helped him through boot camp. And he's just an amazing, amazing person. And each year that I do Marine Corps Marathon, he treats me like, I don't know, royalty. He gets me into the VIP tent and then he drives me back to the airport and, you know, he and his other colonel buddies are driving me around and I'm the one really supposed to be taking care of them. I mean, they served our country, right? He's just amazing.
He really is. He really is. I feel like after talking to him that day, it was just, it's just one of those conversations. You're like, you'll remember that one, you know, and he highly Definitely. Recommended that so he speaks very highly of you. And, you know, I love the message. Obviously it's a great, title to have Guinness Book of World Records champion or winner. but you know, for you, it's about the camaraderie. It's about, you know, being close to nature, and doing something that is important.
Definitely. Definitely. Yes. And raising money, you know, for the cause.
Yes, of course.
Yes.
So if people want to donate to, you know, your next run, how do they find you?
I'm on Facebook under Angela Tortorese. They could, you know, always email me. And gosh, I have my website is www.rtd, like running the distance, rtdtexas.com.
Yep.
If they wanted to donate, they could go on to the registration page and click on one of the links. And I believe there's a donation link on there. Or they could go to the National MS Society. I have a page there for the bike team and they can donate there directly to the MS Society.
When's that race coming up?
That is the first weekend of May. So our goal this year is to get 75 riders and to raise $75,000 for MS.
Okay. Well, maybe you and I need to be in contact in the next few weeks and we'll get you on again before that happens.
Oh, that would be super. I appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate that too, because it's, you know, it's raising money for the cause. And so I feel very grateful. I feel grateful to talk to you. I feel grateful for our connection through our buddy, Colonel Donegan. And thanks for spending some time with me.
Well, thanks for taking time out of your busy day. And it's been an honor.
Thanks again to Angela for joining me today on the podcast. And even though I am not a runner, I think her message is very important. We have to keep moving and setting goals for ourselves. I thank Angela for her time today, and we will definitely check back in with her before her race to help raise money and awareness for multiple sclerosis. Thank you to all of my listeners. If you have someone you think should make the Dean's List, let me know at Janice Dean on Twitter or Janice Dean FNC on Instagram, or you can rate this podcast. Please subscribe, rate, and review to this podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or at foxnewspodcast.com. Listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app. And don't forget to spread the sunshine.
The Fox News Rundown, a contrast of perspectives you won't hear anywhere else. Your daily dose of news twice a day, featuring insight from top newsmakers, reporters, and Fox News contributors. Listen and subscribe now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.